This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Mike Salvatore, and it's really wonderful to have a chance to talk again. I mean, this has turned into kind of an annual thing. There's another new line in the story of Destiny, and we get to have a chat. So it's really wonderful to have a chance to talk with you.
Thanks, Kate. It's always great talking to you, and I always look forward to these.
It's been such an amazing journey with Destiny, and I thought it couldn't get any sadder. But in fact, Cade, who was one of my very, very favorite characters, is no longer with us. He's been murdered by some barons who got loose from the prison of elders. And so once again, we're starting from a real tragedy and a crisis. And so, you know, what was your thought process when you knew that all of a sudden this major beloved figure in the game wasn't going to be around anymore?
Well, it's funny. This is like a repeating theme, but I think I said this to you last year during Destiny 2, that my first reaction is, you can't do that. You know, really? And it's funny. It reminds me of in the movie Psycho, when the main character of the movie is dead within the first 20 minutes. It's sort of like, wait a minute. That's not how these are supposed to go. So, yeah, my first reaction was like, please, not Cade. I love Cade. Everybody does. Right. He was an awesome character. And then the composer side of me sort of took over and said, wait a minute, we've got a sad story and we've got a revenge story. And as a musician and a composer, that's very fertile ground. And so I thought, I kind of rethought my position on it. Not that I really had any control, but I rethought my position and thought this is going to be fun.
Yeah, because there's a real resolute quality to a lot of the music, and it's almost like Cade is still there in spirit a little bit.
Very much, very much. Sky and I and some of the other composers, we really, as we were just talking through this stuff and what we were trying to accomplish, you know, that's one of the most fun parts about what we do here, is sort of coming up with and saying, all right, it's still Destiny, but where are we going to go with this one, you know, and actually having that conversation and playing each other ideas and all that stuff. And it's a real pleasure to do that. And then as we're working and we're, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, it's fun to see things start to take shape and you start to really get excited about what we're doing. And I love that part of what I do, you know, the collaboration part and, you know, trying to find a direction for a particular release that still feels like it's in the Destiny universe, but still very unique.
what's so interesting about this one and the sound that you all created is that since a lot of it is set in this really lawless area, the Tangled Shore, it has this kind of Wild West or Old West quality. In fact, there's even a cue called Gunslinger that is amazing, and it starts with this brass kind of wide open sound that almost would be at home in like a John Wayne film.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for that. That makes me always happy to hear that you like that one. You know, obviously we collaborate on everything, but usually all the pieces we do end up starting as an idea on somebody's head. And that particular one started as an idea in my head. And so I probably shouldn't even tell you this because it might kill some of the romance of that piece. But I actually wrote that piece about 3 years ago, originally for Taken King, and we never found a spot for it. So,
wow.
I know. You know what? It just wasn't. I like to look at it this way. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And when this particular storyline came out, we all looked at each other and said, I think we know where we're going to put that now. And it worked. So it just was it was just a little early when we first came up with that.
Thank you.
It changed a little bit, obviously. I made some revisions to it and changed up the melodies a little bit to sort of fit what we were doing. But the basic idea of the piece had been originally done for another game. So that's life, though, in this business. You know, sometimes you just have stuff. We all have stuff that we've written that we've never used. And every once in a while, it's good to kind of sift through it and see if there's anything there that we can use, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, I remember when we talked the very first time and The Taken King had just come out and you were looking back to those very, very early days of Destiny when there wasn't anything. You were kind of working without a safety net of any kind of themes or musical ideas except for the music of the spheres that you and Marty O'Donnell had worked on. So it must be kind of a comfortable feeling now to know that you've got this sort of cache of music.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, you know, each time we do this, we hone our craft a little bit more. And at this point in time, I'm actually the only person here who's been here for all of it. So I'm sort of the Destiny police. You know, I'm the one that says, it doesn't sound like Destiny yet. You need to keep working on this, you know, or it needs this or it needs that. Because I've been on everything since we started, I feel like I have sort of the Zen vision of what Destiny is supposed to sound like in my head. And of course, that's all in my head. I'm sure. I mean, Sky's the music director. He has the final say on all that stuff, and that's fine. He should be the guy because he has a way better memory than I do.
Well, how do you define it? Like, let's say Michael Sechrist comes to you with an idea that isn't quite there yet. How would you define that? I mean, you call it Destiny gravy. Do you have any like key words that help this new generation of composers?
Oh, sure. You know, we have these composer sort of mashups every week where just the composers get together and play each other our ideas. And we, you know, we have a lot of fun and we joke around a lot, but we get stuff done. I mean, we get, you know, we'll play each other things and someone will say, what if did you consider doing this? Or you want to try and do this? Or, you know, I tend to be the guy that says, you know what? It's really close, but it sounds a little happy. There's this one moment when maybe there's a major third that should be an open fifth or something, you know, just little bits like that, where you do something and it can really change the feel of a piece. And there are suggestions. Anytime I talk to one of the other composers, I'm very respectful of their work. And I say, this is just a suggestion. Obviously you need to be happy with it. So take my suggestion along with the fact that, you know, if you feel like it works, then take it. But I always say to everybody, I say, be happy first, be happy with your piece. But here's a suggestion on how it might sound more like Destiny or how it might fit the vibe, whether that's, you know, a tension sort of thing or a triumphant or whatever. You know, sometimes there's little bits you can push your pieces in certain directions by making little tiny changes to them.
Yeah, too happy is an interesting comment because, you know, through all the years, Bungie has had these incredibly tragic and the heroic stories, but you just never know if it's going to turn out okay. And so, and you've been in that world now for years. And so does it ever like take an emotional toll knowing that you're writing music for what is basically a really tragic story?
No, actually, I actually really enjoy it. In fact, I have a little phrase that I use in Destiny because we're trying to remember as we write this music that whatever we're fighting for, whether it's revenge or whether it's whatever it is, that a couple things I always want them to run through our music. One is that there's always hope and that we're fighting for something noble. We're fighting for something good. And I want the music to reflect that. So I have this phrase I use where I say, it's okay to be sad, but sad has to also have some hopefulness to it. You can be sad yet hopeful. And I feel like those words best describe what we do. And it's not the first word can change. The first word can be tragic yet hopeful, or it can be triumphant yet hopeful, or it can be a bunch of things. But I always like to make sure that there's a little bit of that hopefulness in the back end. Maybe it's my just being a Cub fan for all these years and always being hopeful that they'll do well. I don't really know, but there's something about that I feel like it works and I feel like it resonates with people.
Well, and no one wants to slog around in a pit of despair for, you know, the hundreds of hours that it takes to play a campaign and then do the side missions and you know, get into the Crucible and stuff. So, yeah, giving those little little kernels of hope are, yeah, really important. And I think a cue that like really illustrates that is the man they called Cade, because it starts out kind of like Lost Light or Journey from Destiny 2, with just a very thin texture, and then it just grows and grows, and you realize that, you know, Cade gave so much to the world and is still there kind of in spirit.
Yeah, that one began life as a Sky idea, and I love that piece. He totally nailed it. He has a good feel for these things, and that's one of my favorite pieces.
Thank you. it's really remarkable. And there are little callbacks too, because I remember there's a really neat video that Bungie shot with you and Sky talking about the new soundtrack for Forsaken. And you mentioned that you want to have reminders of what players are fighting for and what they've been fighting for these last few years. And there's a really, really remarkable cue. I'm not this far in the game, so I don't know really what the context is, but Queen's Oracle is just incredible because it was a really Russian sounding trumpet. And then you hear just like five notes of that original Destiny theme, which is so cool. And then Bow to No One comes in and it's really heroic. It's such a great track.
We actually talked a lot about that one because of the storyline. And since the Queen was back in the picture here in the story, there was some talk early on of actually making some sort of a mention of Bow to No One. And we were just trying to find the right spot for it. And was working on that piece. It was a little weird because the piece I was working on, and I'm going to do a little musician talk here, but the piece I was working on was in 4-4, and Bow to No One is in 6-8. I wanted to use it in that piece, but Bow to No One doesn't work in 4-4. So I had to figure out a way to transition out of 4-4 into 6-8 and then back again. And that took me a couple of days to kind of come up with the right formula for that. But once we hit it, and of course, then when we got to Bow to No One, which the original version in Taken King was kind of sad, I wanted it to be a little more heroic in this one. And so it's a different arrangement. It's the same song, obviously, but it's a different arrangement and has a lot more punch to it.
Thank you.
It's funny how over time certain pieces sort of have more staying power than others. You know, it's just the way things tend to work. And that one we get asked about a lot. So it was kind of nice to be able to bring it back. Like, it was like going out to lunch with an old friend.
I love the addition of chorus in that piece too, and also in some of the other cues, because I think what you and the team are so good at doing is using the chorus as another instrument rather than its own thing with an orchestral accompaniment. And so I've just always appreciated the fact that you can use the chorus. It's not an afterthought. It's like an essential part of each cue.
Yeah, it's funny. Sky and I both really enjoy writing for choir, and I actually have sung in choirs, and there's something about choral music that just it gives this texture and this sound that you just can't get any other way. And so, you know, occasionally I love to dive into that pool basically and work on a piece that's very like centrally chorus. Like, obviously a lot of the pieces are orchestral and they have choir in them, but there are other ones like Elegy from Rise of Iron and things like that that began life as a choral piece and pretty much stayed there. And I just really enjoy those. There's something about the human voice that just lifts the music above perhaps the notes that are actually on the page, and I really like that.
Yeah, and the theme for Forsaken, and right off the bat from the start screen, the first thing you hear is a chorus.
Yes.
Which is just really powerful.
Yes. That was Sky's idea, and I really like that. That piece didn't begin that way, but he said, what if we started it with, there's a little choral bit in the middle of the piece. What if we actually started the piece with that? And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. It was a little bit later on that happened, but I'm real pleased with how that works. It really sets the tone, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. And then, you know, the texture builds and builds, and you've got that magnificent brass in there too. And maybe that's also part of the Destiny gravy, because it just seems like in every soundtrack for every game, the brass is like this really key, powerful player in the orchestra.
We love the brass, and I'll tell you, we wear them out. There's we're always having to find a place for them to breathe at the sessions, right? You know, I sometimes forget that, oh yeah, human beings actually have to breathe while they're playing. so we have to put little rests in every now and then to make sure that they can catch a breath here and there. But no, we work them hard. Love the brass, and we enjoy working with the brass players, and we have a lot of fun with them when we're actually recording these things.
Oh, I'll bet. And that was one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because it sounds like as much fun as it is recording at Ocean Way in Nashville, time is really of the essence. So what do you guys do, you know, to maximize the amount of time you have and not waste time?
Well, when we're there, it's all business. Obviously, we dive in and we get takes, and there are points where you say, should I do another take of that or should we move on? You know, there's always those moments. And one of the things you learn over the years of doing this a lot is there's a point of diminishing returns where you can keep doing more takes, but it's not really making it better. And so you get a feeling. You know, we look at each other sometimes and say, you know, even if it wasn't a perfect take, the take before it might have been fine in one section, and then the take that they just did is fine in another section, and I know I can piece those two together and get it. So rather than play it all the way through perfectly each time, it's just sort of keeping track of what you have that is usable and that is well played. And so we try to keep things moving in that fashion. But I tell you, these Nashville players, though, that's not really a big issue there, because they almost always play it dead on. I mean, they're good. And so one of the easy ways to get a good performance and keep things moving is to actually have really good players in the room, and we're very fortunate to have that.
Yeah. The thing that just impresses me so much about all these musicians is their ability to just sight read, just get it cold. It's just really remarkable.
That is a talent. And I totally don't get that. That's not me. I can't do that. But, you know, when you set the music in front of them, it's amazing how quickly they're able to sort of tune into what you were looking for, you know, because notes on a page are notes on a page. But there's it's what you hear in your head that you want to hear, and you want it to sound like that or better. And these players get there quickly. And I love that.
You've also worked for many, many years with the Northwest Sinfonia and the choir. And for them, it must be like, you know, as orchestral musicians, they get a piece by Beethoven and they're like, yeah, I know what to do with this. And so that must make the time that you spend with them a lot more efficient, too.
Oh, sure. Northwest Sinfonia and choir are awesome. Nathaniel, the conductor, and David Sabe, those guys are great, and we've always loved working with them. They all work on a lot of projects and a lot of video games, actually. And so when they see the music, they are in the pocket pretty quickly. You know, it's they know what they're doing because they do this every day, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. And again, you know, the sound of that church in particular, it just adds so much too. And I know the composers have their favorite places to record, and for various reasons, but that one I think just really adds a lot to the sound.
Yes, it does, especially with the choir. There's something about recording choir in a large space like that, with that reverb and the reverb tail and everything, that just, it makes the choir sound bigger, and it really works well. Obviously, there's those moments as a, you know, when you're actually editing the music and stuff like that, where sometimes the long reverb tails are not that convenient.
Yeah.
But the sound, especially for choir, and it sounds great with the strings too. It's just a little more problematic in terms of sometimes making edits because of the reverb. But we found ways to work with that.
Well, clearly, because it never shows up in the game the way the music is implemented in the game or on the soundtrack too. And speaking of voices, there is an unbelievable cue by Brendan Williams, who's one of the newer composers on the team. It's called Keep of Voices, and it's just stunning.
Oh, can I tell you a story about that one? I love
it. Yeah.
And it's the first time I worked with them. And one of the things we do early in the process is we send, you know, Sky and I, usually the two of us start working on ideas, and we send out a few of the melodies we're thinking of using. So the other composers they can do what they want to do, but we ask them to include some of the melodic material. And it just so happened that the piece that Brendan did, Keep of Voices, was actually his version of something that I had started. In fact, it's that first piece on the soundtrack, the Forsaken piece, the first 2 minutes of Forsaken, had started out as an idea of mine. And, you know, we sent that to Brendan, and he did this song, Keep of Voices. And I'll never forget the first time I heard it. I thought, geez, I like his version better than mine. So I was like happy and mad at the same time. How dare he do a better piece than me? You know, it was a funny moment. And I joke with him about that. But it's like, man, I wish I had done that version.
Thank you.
it was stunning what he did. And he added so much beauty to it and so much of himself that I listened to that piece and I think, yeah, he took a small idea of mine and turned it into something amazing. And Brennan's awesome. I just had lunch with him last week and I always tease him. I say, he's here to replace me.
Well, it's nice to have a backup or a protege.
Well, you never
for sure.
Know. I could get hit by a bus next week, you know, so that's all.
I suppose. But I was going to ask you how the team created such a cohesive sounding bunch of cues, because there are little hints and really, really clever ways that the melodies, like for the Forsaken theme or Be Brave or, you know, other callbacks to soundtracks from earlier games, how they embedded them. I was thinking about Will Roget's cue, The Accursed, because he just, it's subtle, but it's there, the way he used Be Brave. And so they get a catalog of the themes that you'd like them to use?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of send out some of the early ideas of melodic material that we're thinking of using, and we also send them ideas of some of the sort of like more legacy Destiny melodies that they can also use to help. That's the Destiny gravy there. And it's amazing how quickly people like Brendan and Will was amazing too, are able to sort of like make a piece that's really their own, but has all the flavors, you know, that we were hoping they would get in there. And wow, what a talent that is. I love both of their works. They did a great job, and also Rotem and Peter Schlosser, who are guys we've worked with on a few of the previous releases, also just did another great job, you know, taking the stuff and just making very usable bits out of it in pieces. And love working with all those guys. And maybe just because we've been doing it with them for so many years, you know, everyone kind of knows what it's supposed to sound like and where we're trying to go. And they do a great job. But Brennan and Will, those guys were new this time. And they nailed it like first time around. So kudos to them. I want to also mention that Michael Sechrist also wrote some material for Forsaken, as did Josh Mosser, who's another guy who actually works with us here. And that was his first composing foray into Destiny. And he did a real nice job.
Yeah, he did. His cue, The Rider, is one of the most exciting battles I've ever been in. And again, you know, it kind of really reinforces the subtle Wild West ideas or kind of, you know, atmosphere, because you're chasing down this Baron, not on horseback, but on pikes. But the way it gets going, when the chase really starts, he just did a brilliant job with that.
Yeah, I like what he did. We'll be right back. you know, in this job, I love being surprised, happily surprised, you know. And so when Michael or Josh come in and play a piece, and right away I'm like, this is great. Let's go. You know, let's finish it. Let's do it. You know, in Sky, you know, listen to it and agree with that. And that's a real happy thing to have that extra support, because of the turnaround time on this one and the amount of stuff that we needed to finish, we really needed all hands on deck on this one. And so obviously there's a certain amount of top down that goes on with it, because Sky and I basically are the guys sort of like setting the table. But then we had a lot of people sitting at the table this time, and they all just really understood what it was about.
And what's so interesting, too, is that they all approach the music with slightly different palettes.
That's the part I love.
Yeah. Rotem's Dreaming City is fascinating because he uses instruments that I've never heard before in a Destiny soundtrack.
Yeah. And Rotem's, he does, the stuff he sends is just so... It's so well thought out and so usable. I always smile when I hear his stuff, and especially when it comes to scoring cinematics. For some reason, I always reach for his pieces first, because he has a great feel for it. And it's crazy. I've only met him one time. He actually lives in Israel, and I met him, I think, during the Destiny 2 release party. Maybe it was. Yeah, I think it was. But he's great. I always love hearing his stuff.
Are you ever tempted to, like, I don't know, borrow their ideas for your own stuff?
Oh, well, I do, actually.
Well, how do you know when a queue is finished? Because
I laugh. As musicians, we're never finished with anything. We will change it and iterate it forever. The best thing in the world for us is deadlines. You have to make decisions and move on. And so we have the mean people telling us we have to finish our stuff and get it in the game. And that's actually, they're not mean, of course, but that's my, I always say that deadlines are my friend, because it forces you to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to finish it and I'm going to mix it and I'm going to move on. You have to do that or else you'll never finish anything.
Yeah, I guess, you know, pencils down, step away from the desk.
There's a time when you just have to say it's finished. And finished is better than perfect.
That is really a good philosophy, because I would imagine, you know, although you don't have a lot of time in the recording sessions, sometimes changes get made with instrumentation or, I don't know, the melodies get changed a little bit so that it's better than what's on the page.
Yes, of course. And you do make, sometimes you make calls. It's like in football when the quarterback changes the play at the last second. I mean, sometimes you'll be listening to something and you'll just like, no, that's not working. Let's try this. And you just have to keep moving, keep making progress and keep hoping. And then, you know, sometimes you don't really have it's hard to have a good perspective on the work you've done immediately while you're working on it, or even like soon afterwards. Sometimes it takes a while. So sometimes I'll go back and listen to a soundtrack like from Taken King or Rise of Iron. And I'm always sort of pleasantly surprised. I think, wow, that's actually not bad. You know, because you just don't know. It's hard when you're in it to really sort of be objective about it. So it's kind of fun sometimes to go back and revisit certain things. Another, just a thought came to my head, and I know you didn't ask me this question, but you were talking about the storyline of Forsaken and Cade's death and everything like that. I got to do something on this one that I've never been able to do before, which is actually score the cinematic where Cade dies.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's like composer gold, being able to work on that. And I worked real closely with the director, Matt Ward, here. And, you know, he talked about his vision. And, you know, there were actually a couple of them. There's the post-death one, too, where we brought back the remembrance theme a little bit in that piece. But the one where he actually dies was like, it's real sensitive, you know, because it's like, this is a character we all loved, and how are we handling this? And one of the things, you know, we kind of tried a couple different things, and we ended up, just as he takes his last breath, having the horn do the Guardian theme, you know, the you know, right in there.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was like the best way to honor him as he breathed his last. I don't mean to be dramatic here, but I mean, you got to think that way when you're scoring these things.
I think what's so interesting is getting the reactions from the other characters in the game, too. I went down to see Amanda Halliday, the shipwright, and she even said, you know, I'm sure as hell not going to sit around here moping. And so,
she's great.
Yeah, even in the game, you get this kind of, you know, let's get on with things and we'll just get this done. And I think it really speaks to the incredible writing in the game, that the characters like this can be created that you really, really care about.
Yes, our writers are fantastic, and we love sitting down with them and talking through the stuff they're doing. I know this just sounds like I'm just saying this, but it's really a team effort, and we all make each other better by talking through things and proposing ideas and you know, turning and saying, no, that's not going to work. And let's try this. And somehow at the end of the day, we end up with something that's better than any of us would have come up with on our own.
Yeah, it must be an amazing, amazing process. I can't wait to see where the story goes next, because I know you know, and you can't say anything about it.
Surprising how much I don't know, actually. That's okay. Sometimes it helps to wait a little bit. I know some things, but, you know, there are also some other things that are still in progress and final decisions haven't been made on them. You know how it is. It's we're in the process right now of just, you know, moving on to the next thing. We're already writing music for it and talking about it, but it will change. Like 6 months from now, I'm sure it's going to look different than where we are now.
Yeah. One of the bright spots that I just, it really made me laugh. There's a Lost sector that has a dance club where the Fallen are dancing to Paul McCartney's original song, Hope for the Future, and a really amazing bluegrass version of the Destiny theme. And I'm just wondering how that got in there.
Some crazy person decided that was a good idea, and I love it. I think it's fun. And I didn't know about the Paul McCartney thing right away. I found out about that later, and I thought that was brilliant. And then the bluegrass thing, though, I did know about that. I helped with that, and that was fun. Just sometimes, you know, you need a little something to let the steam off, and those are good ways to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Mike, it has been so much fun, again, to talk with you. And you've got so many great stories about how this music gets created. And I really appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
Kate, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to the next one.